irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, we have somebody who is a friend, a guest, and I'm intending an inspiration for any of you out there listening who are thinking of making a career transition. We have Dr. John Rubinow here with us, and Dr. J, as I like to call him, has a very unique and interesting story, which is why I wanted him to share it with you. He started off his career and actually went to medical school. He started and went to Tufts University and later went on to the University of Texas, as well as he also went to medical school as well at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School and got his MD in 1984. And where his story gets interesting is he then proceeded to practice as a physician for about 10 years in different locations, including Chicago and Los Angeles. And about around the 10-year mark is when he realized he was not living his life purpose. Now, many of us have been there. Some of us have been in jobs for 20 years, 30 years, and feel like we're not living our life purpose. But what John did is he did something very unique. He decided to do a 180 and completely transform his career and went from being a practicing physician to actually appearing in films like Beverly Hills Cop 3, Die Hard 2. He was on numerous television shows, including Seventh Heaven, Baywatch, Silk Stockings, General Hospital, and much more. And so, Dr. J, I'd love to welcome you to the show today.
Jennifer, thanks for having me on.
Yes, it's such a pleasure to have you with us. So talk to our listeners. I mean, this is such an interesting phenomenon and story that we hear about people all the time who make a transition maybe from one similar career to another similar career, but to do a complete 180 after investing, you know, God knows how many years of education to get to become a doctor and then the time that it took and paying off all of your student debts. How did that happen for you? Was being a doctor what you had always wanted to do, and then midway through your career you just decided it wasn't for you?
No, not at all. My dad was a general surgeon, and people, when they hear that, they go, oh, that's why you became a doctor. You know, they forced me to. And that's not the case at all. I mean, to be honest with you, I went to college, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was an economics and Greek and Roman studies major at Tufts. I had no real plan. Like, and you know why? I think I always jump from topic to topic, but this is very pertinent. It's that I never stopped, and I still have trouble with this today as a 61-year-old adult. What makes me happy?
Right.
What do I want to do? People get so caught up in going to college and getting a job or paying the bills, or I don't care if you're a brain surgeon or you lay carpet. You've got to love what you do, and in order to know to love what you do, you have to first know what you love to do. And I really didn't know. I was thinking maybe I was going to go work on Wall Street for an investment bank. And I'm like, oh, I'm 21 years old. I, first of all, don't really care for New York City that much as a place to live. And at this point, this was 1973 we're talking about. Plus, I don't want to, you know, work in a suit all day long. That's not me. So I really didn't know what to do. So I decided, well, you know what? I consciously avoided taking science classes at Tufts. You had to take, as an undergraduate, a liberal arts undergraduate, you had to take one science class, and I took astronomy along with all the football players. So it wasn't that tough a class. But I really did consciously avoid taking sciences. Many of my friends were pre-med or pre-dental, and they were busting their butts, you know, with organic chemistry and physics and calculus, and I'm like, oh, man, that is not for me. But once I graduated and I really didn't know what to do, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a biology class during the summer. And I did that. I stayed at Tufts and I took a biology class, and it was fascinating. It was like, wow, this is really pretty cool stuff. And it just kind of snowballed. And I must admit, I hated taking chemistry. I still to this day, and I don't understand balancing equations, and I don't really think that matters.
Yeah.
I don't really think that matters.
I think there's only 1% of the population who actually understands those chemistry equations.
You know, it was amazing when my dad, who is long passed, he helped me when I was a junior in high school. He still remembered how to balance chemistry equations.
That's pretty
and
remarkable.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And you know, he graduated from college in 1937. That's when he learned chemistry, and he was helping me in 1972 or 71, whenever it was. I was like, oh my God, how do you remember that stuff?
That's how you know you're on your life path, is if you remember the same information 40 plus years later, I think.
Right. So getting back to never really asking myself what do I love doing? What makes me happy? So I kind of got on, you know, I finished my pre-meds at the University of Texas. So I did take the calculus and the physics and the organic chemistry, and I did great. I almost got a 4.0 and amazed myself. And I really worked. I don't think I've ever worked harder in my life. I remember, you know, taking the bus to University of Texas and basically grabbing an egg roll on the stand and then reading my organic chemistry on the bus. And I mean, I was a total nerd. But I kind of fell onto the treadmill, and then I got to med school, and I'm like, oh boy, we're not in Kansas anymore. It was funny because I admit to having a Northeast bias. and all these kids from Texas, you know, they're talking like this. Hey, John, how y'all doing? And I thought, boy, you guys are a hick. And they're smarter than anything, smarter than a whip. And I'm like, wow, we're not in Kansas anymore. So, and I wasn't a science person. You know, it didn't come naturally to my brain. And it was tough. And then I, you know, went on and did my residency in orthopedics, and that was hard. And I, you know, I knew in my heart that I really wasn't cut out to be a doc. It really wasn't what I wanted to do, but I still didn't know what I wanted to do.
And did you feel like it was like the right thing to do? Is that why you kept pursuing that path?
You know, this brings us back, you know, why I wanted to be a doctor in the first place was I wanted to be a team physician for a Major League Baseball team.
Ah.
I mean, and that talk about being a romantic. There are not very many jobs. And it's probably easier to become a movie star than it is to become a team physician for a professional sports team. It's so hard. But I was naive and romantic, and, you know, that wasn't going to happen. And this gets back to something I had tried to remind you to remind me about is we're
the
talking about career
manager.
Change.
Yeah, I remember you said you had a meeting with the general
manager.
Yeah,
I think it was a second year orthopedic surgery resident, and wasn't really happy, and it wasn't really for me. And you know, every third night I was up for 36 hours back in the day when residents worked insane hours. So every third night I was up for a day and a half, which was ridiculous. But anyway, a friend of mine happened to know the general manager of the Cincinnati Reds, and she said, "Do you want to have dinner with him?" And I went, "Sure," and I did. I had dinner, just he and I. His name was Bill Burgish, rest his soul, and we had a nice time and talked about love of baseball. And he had been a general manager of the Yankees for a long time, and now was with the Cincinnati Reds. And I said, "Mr. Burgish, I want to work for you. I want to learn everything there is to know about the front office in baseball." And he looked at me like I had three heads. It was like, you're going to be an orthopedic surgeon and you want to get into baseball? And to this day, I have to learn to forgive myself.
That's important.
That I didn't pursue it.
Really? So
I kind of let
dinner,
it go.
You let that go?
And I should have pursued it and called him the very next day and said, you know what, I'm serious. This is what I want to do. This is my passion. And I've loved baseball since I was 5 years old. And does a person have the opportunity to have one-on-one dinner with a general manager of a major league team? Not very often.
That's right.
I'm just a baseball outsider. And I should have taken that little opening and put my foot in it and opened it some more and just pursued it. And that's a real lesson for all the listeners out there. If there's a crack, if you have a crack in something that you love, even if you think you love, you're not sure, but you think you love it and that's what you want to do, push open that door. It's so rare that the door, that crack even is there. And if you find that crack, put your foot in it and push that door open. And don't stop until you succeed.
Yeah, it's about being tenacious, I think. It's so important for anybody out there is that we've all had those windows of opportunity, and it just takes that tenacity and that willingness to push through and say, I'm willing to give up everything to follow my dream and my passion. And it's funny, though, and ironic for our listeners to know that you actually run a pro ball camp now, in addition to being a famous and very successful voiceover actor and normal television actor. But it's interesting.
Well, yeah, I have my hand in baseball a little bit. For the last 15 years, I run a baseball camp with major league coaches, and adults come, and it's called the Pro Ball Baseball Clinic, and we do two camps a year, and I love it, and I keep my hand in the game, and I've made friends with major league coaches and managers that, if you told me 15 years ago I'd be friends with, I'd say you're crazy. And that's fun. That, for me, is a labor of love. I love doing that camp, and guys come from all over the country and even Europe, and there's a couple guys from Australia coming to this next camp.
Yeah, I think you were telling me
they're starting to bring their teenage son, so it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's in December and January, right? I think you were just telling me about
that. Yeah, and if anybody wants to check out the website, please do. It's pro-ball.com, pro-ball.com.
Yeah,
it's tons of fun. And that's another thing. I pursued my passion. Jen, because I remember I had this idea back in 2002. I'm going to start I actually started it because I wanted to go to a baseball camp that was instructional and not a fantasy camp. Major league teams have fantasy camps where guys go, and they get home and away uniforms, and they get to meet their boyhood idols, and then they play games against each other, and then the last day they play a game against the ex-pros. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get instruction, like going to a golf camp or a tennis camp. So I went online, and there wasn't anything. And I went, you know what? I'm going to start a camp that I would want to go to myself. And this is a great thing for listeners. You look around the world. Look around your life. And see what needs to be improved. Because I'm sure we all do this every day. It's like, hey, how come there's not a better this? Or I can't believe that they have all this technology, but they're still doing this way. If that's something that interests you, investigate it. Find out. I mean, people have ideas all the time, and they don't go with it. They don't pursue it. They don't, go to completion.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that goes on with starting a new business and getting patents and all that stuff. But there's so many people that have these great ideas, and they just kind of let it die.
And they let somebody else do it. I mean, that's the worst part is somebody else is always going to be out there to follow up with that great idea that you had. But I think what's really important for our listeners to understand is that here you were, a resident, and, you're pursuing your career as an orthopedic doctor or whatever it was at the time. And what's really fascinating is you did have a door or a window that opened at that period when the Cincinnati Reds manager sat down with you. And like you said, you didn't kick or push it open or open that crack. But what's really fascinating, what I love about life, is that sometimes we think we may have missed the only opportunity we have, but if you really put your mind to something and you say, you know what, no matter come hell or high water, I'm going to make this happen because I care and I'm that passionate about it and I love this thing, be it baseball or something else, so much, look at what you can accomplish, because here you are 15 years later with this wildly successful pro baseball camp, not to mention your career as an actor and voiceover actor. And I think it's just something for our listeners to note is that yes, sometimes we're going to miss that window, but it doesn't mean that you should spend the rest of your life beating yourself up. You should look for other little cracks and windows to open up and to further pursue your passion. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. And sometimes, Jen, that same window, you get a boomerang, and it appears in front of you again.
Yeah.
And that's when you really have to take the bull by the horns and open that window. Because if that same window appears, and it may appear in a different form, but like for me with the baseball thing, when I went, you know what, I'm going to start a camp. Because there have to be guys like me all over the country that want to get better and would love to learn from major league coaches. And I'm proud of myself. I don't give myself very many attaboys, but I give myself an attaboy because I went through with it. The very first year, it was hard, and I lost money. I don't do it for the money anyway, but I lost money, and I think we only had 17 guys, and I'm like, oh, this isn't such a good idea. Maybe there aren't guys like me that would want to go to this camp. But it just took time to grow.
Yeah.
And like any business, and it was word of mouth, and that's how it spreads. And people go and they go, this is an amazing thing that I get to spend 4 days with major league pitching coaches and hitting coaches, and now I'm taking my 13 or 14 year old son, and he's like, loves baseball, and he's going crazy, and he's going to try to make the freshman baseball team in high school and all that stuff. And that's one of the things that I'm proudest of, is that I actually went through with that idea to its completion. And it's still a work in progress. I mean, life is a work in progress.
But at least you went after it, though. At least you did it.
Yes,
and so
the
second
the
time,
thing.
You didn't regret it, and you didn't say, oh, woulda, shoulda, coulda, mighta, maybe never. You actually went through and you pursued it, and now you have something that's your baby, like you said, and it brings you complete joy and happiness. So that's fantastic.
That's right.
So great. Now tell
that's
us. I know. I love Tucker. Tucker is the best dog ever. Biggest dog you will ever see, but likes to bark sometimes. So
Sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's like you just said. That's life. Life happens. Dogs bark. Children cry. It all happens. So tell
right.
our listeners, though, at what point when you were pursuing your medical career, here you are, you complete medical school, obviously, go on to become a physician. Were you, that whole time, were you happy being a physician? Was there any sort of satisfaction? Did you always know in your gut it wasn't what you were meant to do? And when did you actually pull the trigger and decide to change careers?
Well, you know, I don't mean to be morose, but it's a true story. I think it was my second year as a resident, and on the table we lost a little boy, a four-year-old boy.
Oh my God.
That I had done a pre-op physical the night before.
Oh.
And I'm very sensitive. I mean, most surgeons aren't, you know, they're to cut is to cure, and they, you know, that's how they make their living. And maybe I should have gone into a different field of medicine given my sensitivity. It crushed me. It crushed me to my soul. And I was questioning whether I can even do this. So that was like a first big wake-up call for me. It probably had been there, but this was the universe saying,
this might not be for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This might not be a good fit.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I mean, that was a real tough thing for me to deal with. And, you know, there are docs that deal with that every day, and God bless them. And then they're able to, you know, separate themselves from it, or they think they'd go crazy. But I couldn't do that. It's just not who I am as a person. So I tended to, you know, the transition from medicine to acting, I was working as a doc in Chicago, and hold on.
Tucker has something to say about that. Apparently, he's very happy that you're an actor.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries.
So
you were saying that you were working as a doctor in Chicago, and then you were making that transition over to the acting side?
Yeah, just for grins, I saw an ad in one of the Chicago papers that they were having auditions for a play. That they were reworking. It was a Broadway play that hadn't done very well, and they were reworking it in Chicago. And I thought, well, heck, I'll go. I'll try it. I mean, I had dabbled in little teeny things in Cincinnati, Ohio, you know, I mean, nothing. I was greener than grass. And I remember going to the audition and seeing this gentleman. And to myself, I went, oh, my God, that's a Hollywood guy. I don't know who it is, but I've seen him in movies and TV and everything. I mean, I was awestruck. And I guess I was good enough to get the stand-in for the male lead in this play.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had kind of natural acting ability. I think the more acting classes I took when I moved to L.A., the worse I got because I got away from myself, you know, the uniqueness of who I was. Because that's all Hollywood is. They love unique characters, right? They don't want anybody that's bland. So that was my first foray into acting. And this gentleman was indeed a very famous writer. He won a Tony. And lived in Hollywood. And at the end of the play, the run, he said, you know, with your background, you'd be perfect to do soap operas, because soap operas love doctors.
Oh,
and
yes.
He said, you should move to New York or L.A. And I went, well, I don't really want to live in New York. It's kind of cold. And because I had just had my fill of a Chicago winter.
Oh, geez.
And I said, yeah, it was awful. I love Chicago. It's my favorite city
just
in the country.
Just not the winter.
The winter is brutal. So I moved to Los Angeles in 1988 and didn't know anybody, didn't have any... I had no resume. I had nothing. And I remember getting a composite headshot, which not just a headshot, but lots of little pictures of me as a baseball player and this and that. As I look back on it, I was so naive. But I had such determination. I literally walked up and down Sunset Boulevard and went to every single talent agency and manager that I could find. And I just so happened to go on into this place. I don't even think it's around anymore. It was called Triangle Casting. And a gentleman, Jim Tarzia, I didn't know who this guy was. And it so happened he was at the front desk. God, I can't believe I'm remembering this. And I gave him my resume, and he says, you're a doctor? I said, yeah. Like, what are you doing? He said, I want to be an actor. And he said, you're really lucky, because I'm on the front desk, manning the front desk, because the receptionist is at lunch.
No
way.
And
he said, he said, let's have a talk. So we talked, and he called up this agent that he knew, and he said, I just have this doctor who just came in from Chicago. I think you should meet him. I mean, he didn't have to do that. I mean, what if and it all happened because I had the balls, the tenacity, to take this little crummy, I didn't even have a resume, and just go, you know, knock on doors, keep going, keep knocking, never say never, and wait for that opportunity. And then I ended up that day reading for this Hollywood agent, and she signed me. It was like
weirdest. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, this is a crazy story. And through them, I got some roles on some soap operas, and it was just, and then it kind of just, it snowballed. And again, the more on-camera acting I did, the more I discovered I really didn't like it. It wasn't for me. It's not for everybody. It's not as romantic as people think, especially feature films, movies. I mean, everything. It takes so long to set up the lighting and, you know, everything. You can be sitting in your trailer for 6 hours waiting for your first scene, and I'm like, this isn't for me. And that's okay. That's part of the learning experience of what fulfills you, what you love to do. And the more on-camera acting I did, I don't like memorizing lines, and you have to hit marks, and I found it tedious. I didn't find it to be very fun. And I thought to myself, I've got to find something else. Okay, moving on. I'll do it if the jobs come. But I really don't like it. I actually liked doing the soap operas because you had to move, because you had to get so many pages in a day.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And I love that. So my experience I was on Young and the Restless for a while. I loved it. It was great. But I thought, you know what, there's got to be more. I want to do a little something that's more fun. I've always been motivated by fun. I'm 61 years old, but probably 12 inside. You know, I want to have fun in life. That's what we're here for. We're here to love and be loved and have fun and be kind. And I think it's as simple as that. And if you can be those things, you will have a successful journey on this planet, for this little snippet of existence that we have.
I agree. And so when you were in the midst of all this, just a quick question for a moment, did you ever, when you thought to yourself, gosh, I don't like on-camera acting as much as I had thought, did it ever occur to you to go back and do a 180 and go back to being a doctor because it was what you knew?
No, because I knew I didn't like that. I mean, Jen, it's interesting because people that don't know me go, oh my God, what a waste. What, you went to all that school and residency and all that, what a waste. And I look at them and go, no, the real waste is staying in a profession that you don't like, that makes you unhappy, that doesn't fulfill you.
So true.
Just because, you know, you went to school. That's the waste, is being a prisoner to a career or a job that you don't like doing.
Yeah,
that's the waste, because the time, we only have a certain amount of time on this planet. Find something that motivates you, that makes you want to be better the next day, that you have passion for. Again, I don't care if you're a sculptor or a painter or a landscaper or a tile layer or a neurosurgeon.
Or a barista at Starbucks. You know? Some people love that.
Yeah, I know baristas. They love what they do. God bless them. They want to make you the best cup of coffee they can. And isn't that wonderful?
It is, because I suck at making coffee, so thank God somebody out there is good at it.
I'm not very good at it either. Actually, I'm drinking a cup as we speak, and it's not very good.
It makes you appreciate it, though. That's the thing, is we all have our gifts, and it doesn't mean that your gift is good or bad or right or wrong. And one of the interesting things that I think I keep noticing in everything you're saying is that when you're on your path, the right doors open for you. Like, for example, the gentleman at the casting place who just happened to be covering reception. Back in, I think it was July, on July 17th, I had a friend of mine who's one of the top most trusted spiritual advisors in the world, and she gave me a similar story of how she was on the wrong path. And you'll know you're on the wrong path when things are hard, where it's so much work and nothing works out in your favor. And if you just keep getting, there's a difference between facing an obstacle and overcoming that obstacle and just knowing that you're not on the right path because you keep being met with adversity after adversity after adversity. And my experience of most of the people I've dealt with, I would say 95% of anybody who's living their life purpose, is that when they start embarking upon that path, yes, you're still going to face obstacles, but windows and doors are going to fly wide open for you, just like they did when you took the action times your intention of being an actor. You took the action of going door to door on Sunset, and you multiplied that times your intention of being an actor, and thus you landed that first gig, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
So how did you make 100%. The transition then to being a voiceover actor? So here you are, and you're doing, you know, the on-camera stuff, and I'm with you. I remember when I shot some TV shows when I was younger, I was like, oh my gosh, it takes like 8 hours to film less than 20 minutes of television. It's pretty remarkable, and a lot of people just think it's all glamour.
Most people that, you know, aren't in the business or have never experienced it firsthand, they have no idea. They just watch the finished product, and they watch a half-hour show or an hour show or whatever it is, or a movie. Oh, yeah. They probably think it gets done in, like, 3 weeks. It takes months and months for a feature film to get done. It's important for everybody, me included, to really be honest with yourself and go, this isn't for me. Even if I was successful at it. And it was okay. I mean, I wasn't a movie star or TV star by any stretch, but I was making a pretty good living, and then, you know, and I was getting hired. Because at that time, I was really unique, because I think I was the only doctor, actor. There aren't very many of them.
I would imagine that most people who spend 10 years of schooling and then hundreds of thousands of dollars on school probably don't drop all of that to go become, you know, an actor or change careers.
Right.
So good on
those
you.
That I might have had a leg up on the doctor roles, because almost every role that I played, except for some cops, I guess, I was a doctor, and that's okay. I mean, they were getting the real deal. But I didn't really like it. And you have to be honest with yourself. Do you really like what you do? Do you get up in the morning dreading going to work? And I know there are people out there that are listening that go, oh, yeah, I hear you, Doc. You know, I hate going to work. Well, gosh, life is so short. You gotta find your passion. And even if it takes going on different paths to find it, and maybe you'll never find that passion, but at least you know that you're not on the wrong path.
Yeah, you got to just follow your passion and just know if you get up every day and if you think to yourself, oh, I look forward to going into the office today, then you're on the right path. But I see it so often, just even riding the elevator between two floors at my office, how many people on Monday will say, oh, it's Monday. I'm never going to make it to Friday. And unfortunately, that is probably 80 to 90% of people, at least that I come across in the Los Angeles area. And it's really sad that so many people spend their lives doing jobs they hate and just waking up every day dreading that day.
It's like they're a prisoner in their own life.
Exactly.
It's sad.
And so how did you even find out about voiceover work then and decide that was something that you didn't enjoy?
You know, as a kid, I had all these voices, and people always wanted me to, back in the day when they had, you know, recording machines, phone recording machines.
Yeah.
Make a recording, do this, do Jimmy Stewart, or do, you know, whatever. Be a gangster, or whatever. And I did it, and it was fun. And I just kind of, on a lark, I took a class. I saw it in the back of one of the, either the Hollywood Reporter or Variety. I can't remember. It was so long ago. I think this was 1991. There was a master animation class, which is cartoons. And it was taught by a lady named Susan Blue, who at that time was probably the biggest cartoon director in Hollywood. So I signed up for the class and didn't have any experience at all in voiceovers. I mean, and it was a 6-week class, and you have to develop characters, and at the end of the last class is a performance, as if you were giving an audition to a casting person. And I guess I loved it. It was fun for me. I mean, if you can have fun doing whatever it is you do, you really don't work. I mean, it's cliche, and a lot of cliches are cliches because they're true. I mean, I just had a blast doing this. And at the end of the class, Sue went, you're really good, Doc. And actually, I was still working as a doctor at the time.
Really?
And she goes, you should be working. And I went, well, thank you. That's nice. And she hired me on two of her cartoon shows way back then. What was it? One was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No way. You were on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Which voice were you?
No, I was on that show. I wasn't one of the turtles.
Oh,
I was,
got it.
I can't remember, a security guard or a judge, or, you know, one of the ancillary characters on that episode. And it was a long, you know, already established, very successful cartoon show. And I think I did Dennis the Menace, and I can't remember. It was too long ago. I don't remember last week. So I'm trying to think what happened in 1991. And so she hired me on those shows. And then she called the head agent, a voiceover agent at ICM at the time. And she said, you know, Jeff, I never do this, but there's this doctor that took my class. You got to meet him. And it ended up, and I ended up meeting him and ended up signing with ICM. And I think I was there for like 12 years before they moved to a different agency. And it was a story of a lady, or, you know, a person in Hollywood. I kind of break it down. In Hollywood, there are people that can help and won't. Don't have the juice, really can't help but want to, which are, they're very nice people, but they really can't get the job done. And then there are just those that don't care. They only care about themselves. And there are a lot of those.
Yeah.
But this was a lady who could help and did. It was kind of a rare thing.
Rare find.
But I guess she believed in me enough to call this agent at probably the, you know, at that time was the best voiceover agency in Hollywood, and said, I got this guy. He's kind of a diamond in the rough. You got to meet him. And it just happened. Jen, it was a meant to be, because I loved what I did, and I was pretty good at it, and intuitive, and it was freeing for me. Medicine wasn't freeing for me, but being a voiceover actor is so much fun, because I can play as like a hitman on the, you know, on a cartoon show or something. I'll never play a hitman on TV.
Yeah.
I don't look like a hitman.
You look too friendly.
You know, I'm not gonna play that. But I could do anything from a voice. You can hide behind so many voices and play so many characters, and you get to play. They pay you to play, and it's like, how cool is that?
Oh my gosh. You know? That's so cool. It's like every kid's dream is that, you know, when you're a kid, like you said, you would record other people's answering machines, and now here you are getting paid to play around and to have fun and to mess with these voices that you probably just did in the shower or did for kicks and giggles by yourself, right?
Right. As one very well-known voice actor told me, I get paid to do what I got in trouble in school for.
That's amazing. Yeah, because you used to interrupt the class, right, with all these funny voices and be the funny guy, and then some people do get paid for it. But the interesting thing is, again, look at how the doors open, because it was your right path. When you're on the right path, you can just tell, because the doors will swing wide open for you, and then it's just up to you to step through those doors when you're living your life purpose.
Yep, and that's a key, is to actually take that step and go through that door.
And not to tell yourself that you can't, because I see so many people, and that's where probably 50% of people may be offered these once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to live their life purpose, and yet they just don't take that step through the door because they tell themselves, I suck, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not tall enough, or I don't do enough voices. You know, there are a million things you could have told yourself about why it wouldn't have worked, but you said, no, I'm passionate, and I'm going to do this.
Right. Sometimes there's fear of failure, and sometimes there's fear of success.
Yeah, it can go either way, for sure. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it keeps somebody, you know, frozen, keeps them, immobilizes them to move forward down their path, and that's a shame.
And so you've been a voiceover actor now. So here, just to recap for our listeners, so you started off, you went to medical school, then you became a practicing physician, and then you started off in acting, actually doing on-camera acting for film and television, and realized that wasn't right for you, which that in and of itself is really interesting, because I think a lot of people would get to the point where they're on TV shows like Baywatch or different other TV shows that you've appeared on or films and think, oh, I've made it and this is good, and would then talk themselves into staying in that. But I think it's really interesting that you all along kind of listened for your own internal guide and intuition to ask yourself, is this what I'm meant to do? Yes or no? And then when you got a no, you said, okay, now what do I need to do to get myself on track to do what I'm passionate about?
Yeah, I think I asked myself a really elementary question. Am I having fun?
That's so great.
You know, really, am I really enjoying? And it got back to asking a question that I rarely ask myself, or rarely have asked myself over my life, is, am I having fun? What do I want? You know, and the times when I take the time to step back from doing what I'm doing and really ask myself that one question,
am I having fun
doing this? Is this enjoyable for me? Does this make me happy? Then you can make honest decisions. It's just taking that time to step back from your life and reflect sincerely on where you are on your life path. And what path are you on? Not only just where are you, what path are you on, and are you happy?
Yeah,
are you the best human you can be right now? Because I think we're at our best when we're happy. And work is a big part of a life in America. It may be different in different parts of the world, but we're here. And what we do for our work is a big part of our life. And hopefully we can find something that really satisfies us and makes us happy and makes us want to be better.
Yeah, lights our fire up. And I'm glad we're actually having this conversation because I'm super excited. On January 9th, a friend of mine, Curtis Estes, wrote a fantastic book. And I remember reading his book several years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago when we first became introduced. And what's great about Curtis's book is he actually has a pyramid that you fill out as you're going through the book. And it talks about the top of the pyramid is what you really, you want to be focusing on the things that you're good at. And you kind of break it down as you go through the book and you look at what are the things that are serving my highest and best good and what are the things that are making me the most happy day in and day out. And even if I look at my own job, I was just talking to somebody about this today. I love recruiting. I'm a recruiter by trade. I've been doing it 13 years. I'm a speaker. Obviously, I do this show as well, which is fantastic. And the only part of my job that I don't enjoy as much is admin. When I'm, negotiating with an insurance company on a new employment practices policy or updating a handbook, that's the stuff that makes me want to poke out my eyeballs. And so I think for all of us, the interesting thing is, just like for you, it was acting on camera versus doing the voiceover thing. We have to really fine tune and shave away anything that's really not us, and then figure out how can we let go of those things that are no longer serving us or up for our highest and best good, and just kind of like peeling back that onion and figuring out the layers. And it takes a lot of introspection, I would say, is that we really have to have an honest conversation about ourselves, about what does bring you joy and happiness and fulfillment, and how can you be doing more of that and less of the other things you don't enjoy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think,
and it's taking the time. We're all busy, but are you really too busy to think about yourself?
I think,
in a good way.
I think it's like a rat race, like the wheel. What were you saying, John? I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. To have a real sincere self-assessment of where are you in your life? Are you happy? What are you doing? What do you want to do? And what's keeping you from doing what you want to do? And sometimes we think we want to do something, and you can't really know what you want to do or if it's for you until you do it and experience it. And sometimes you go, wow, just like for me and the on-camera stuff, hey, this isn't really what I thought it was. And a lot of times we romanticize what we think a job will be, and then we get there and it's not what you think, and this isn't for me. But people stay there, and that's where they need to kind of change their focus. Okay, realize that it's not for you. That's the first step, and that's good self-assessment. But then what are you going to do to change it to get back on a path that's right for you?
Yeah, there's so much that it's a lot of reflection. It's a lot of asking yourself, looking at yourself, discovering in your day-to-day life, notice when you're smiling, notice what brings you joy. I remember being a little kid and being on the phone with my best friends for hours at a time between the ages of like 8 and 12, and my mom said, by God, Jen, if you can learn a job where you can talk on the phone for a living, you will make millions of dollars. And mom, you must be proud of me now, because I did figure out something where
go.
I can talk for a living. But it's so funny.
Yeah, and you enjoy it. It's who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in your soul. It's wonderful. I think we're all blessed with that ability to find it. It's just, I think people are afraid to really search and ask themselves what makes them happy.
Yeah.
And then do it.
What are our gifts, just ascertaining what our gifts are. And if you don't know, if you're maybe afraid to even look at it for yourself, maybe ask the people around you. When do you notice that I'm most happy? When do you notice that I'm least happy? And just start to kind of make mental notes for yourself. When do you complain the most? When do you, get upset the most? And when do you feel like you're in the flow? It all comes down to just being in the flow of your life. And you'll notice, like you said, every step that you took from the minute you left becoming a doctor and you walked into that first casting agent's office, the doors opened, the right person was sitting at the desk, the right person was always there, and you have to trust, oh my gosh, okay, these doors are being opened for me for a reason, and then walk through, and then walk through another door, and walk through another door, and just keep evaluating, is this who I am? Is this what makes me happy? And I think it's brilliant, because now you've been a voiceover actor for how many years now, John?
Gosh, since 91 or 92. Long time.
Holy moly. So again, it's so funny. Like you said, some people say, oh, what a waste that, you know, you wasted your degree of being a doctor and wasted all that time and education and money. But think of the fact that you could have wasted 30 extra years of your life doing something you hated every day. And now you got those 30 years back doing something that brought you joy and passion and happiness and fulfillment just because you were willing to take that risk.
Yes.
I think that's...
Yes, that's the real waste, is being stuck in something that you don't want to do. I have friends that are doctors. They're miserable. They hate it. Well, do you really want to go to a doctor that hates what they're doing?
No, thank you.
No, but I know plenty of them, and they feel trapped. I don't know what else to do. It's the only thing I know. Well, that's a lot of baloney. Get off your butt. Find out what makes you happy. Take the time to take self-inventory. What makes you happy? And then go do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a cop-out to say, oh, it's the only thing I know. That's the only thing I can do. No, everybody can do lots of different things.
Yeah, you hit on a very important point, I think, about sometimes people fall into victim mentality. And I think that if you're in the mentality of life is happening to you, you're going to be absolutely right and life will happen to you. But if you take the bull by the horns and you say, this is what I'm going to do, then you'll notice that you start to have a completely different trajectory with your career and with your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're really a self-victim. You're a victim of yourself because we're all capable of making changes. And changing our lives and attitudes. I mean, it's in us. It's there. You just have to take that leap of faith that you can make that change. And I know people can. People change careers all the time. And they go, finally, I finally found what makes me happy. Again, going back to it, you first have to take an assessment of your soul. What makes you happy? We're so busy in our everyday life, trying to survive and, you know, get the reports in on time and do your Salesforce.com and blah, 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 that we don't really step back and go, gosh, what do I really like doing? And we're afraid. People are afraid to make job changes, and I understand that because we want security and we need that paycheck. But do you want to be a slave to that? I think you'd be a lot happier if you listen to your heart, listen to your soul, and pursue what makes you happy.
I couldn't agree more. My favorite quote that I start most of my speaking engagements is, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and then go and do that. Because what this world needs is people who have come alive. And I think that's what you and I are talking
Amen.
About. Well, John.
Amen. I could not have said that better. Can you imagine what a more beautiful world it would be? If it was filled with people that were fulfilled and joyful,
it would be
because they love what they do instead of feeling
life
trapped.
Experience. Totally
and it's
different.
There. That possibility is within every single one of us.
That's amazing. And I'm so happy that we had a chance to have you on the show, Dr. J. I mean, just having you as a friend for the last several years, you're always so inspirational and fun to talk to. And, you know, I'm so delighted that our listeners get a chance to hear your inspirational story and just to check with themselves and go, okay, now I know that it is possible. Half of it is it just seems like an impossibility. Oh, nobody would ever go to medical school and then transition into becoming a voiceover actor. And I loved how obtuse your story was because it's something that is so unexpected. And it goes to show you that no matter what background you come from or where you're going, you can always make a complete 180 and shift. And I think that you've given our listeners a lot to think about. And just a reminder to everybody out there, you can also find the show on iTunes if you missed any portion of it. Just go to Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And John, before we wrap up, any last little tips or any fun voices, anything you want to share with our listeners before we wrap up today?
any fun little voices that you want to share?
I love it.
Take the time. Take the time to ask yourself what makes you happy, what really makes you happy, and the cards will fall into place if you trust it.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And don't think you can't do it because you can.
You are absolutely right. It's like that little book from when you're a kid, I think I can, the little engine that could. I think my parents read that book to me one too many times, because I think I can do just about anything I put my mind to.
and you know what? You can, Jen, and you have.
Yeah, and so have you, and that's why, you know, like attracts like, and that's the thing, is I just get so inspired by all of my incredible friends like you and every person in my life and all of the incredible guests that I have on the show. In fact, it was cute. Shout out to my dad if you're listening right now. My dad was asking me this weekend, he's like, how do you even find these guests, all these interesting people? And I am grateful from the bottom of my heart that probably 90% of the people on the show are just tremendously extraordinary individuals who I've come across just through God's grace of, you know, fabulous people entering my life like you. So thank you for being one of my fabulous and extraordinary friends.
And I'm honored to have you as a friend. You're a beautiful soul. So thank you. Enrich my life.
Oh, my gosh. Well, right back at you, and ditto. So thank you so much, Dr. J, for joining us on the show today. And tune in next week. We are going to be doing our mock interview Monday, the last Monday of every month. We have a guest coach come in. So next week, it'll be our favorite guest coach, Allison Garrido, who's just amazing and has guest hosted the show for me before. And we're going to have a job seeker who's seeking a marketing manager / business development manager job. And we're going to give him live in-person coaching on how he can land his dream job. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. J, for being on the show today, and look forward to having you tune in next week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.